in Randolph County and from miles around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Rad Sparta means WHCO.
For folks on the go, it's 1230.
It's WHBO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning, 927. This is the People Speak. I'm Jeff. Hope you're having a good day. Joining us this morning, we have Paul Champin with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for having me in, and a belated Happy Independence Day to everybody. This is the first time that I've been in to talk since that holiday weekend. I had the opportunity to talk with a lot of folks down in Steelville. We had that the big Independence Day parade in Steelville the Monday following Independence Day. That's always one of my favorite events, and I had the opportunity to be down at it this year. And it's, you know, as a statewide governor candidate, it's just, you know, I have to be a lot of places, but it is really nice to be in the 618 area code and able to do an event in Southern Illinois. So, you know, I wished everybody a Happy Independence Day in Steelville, and any of your listeners that I haven't talked to yet, you know, Happy Independence Day. And you know, you know, we are blessed to be in this country, but we've got a lot of work to do still.
Definitely. You just turn on the news and it's just
well, you know, we are free, and we are blessed. And, you know, having deployed to Iraq for the Saddam Hussein trial and seeing that, you know, that really gives me the perspective to appreciate what we have. And we are blessed. But at the same time, you really have to realize, are we truly free? You know, if you're worried about, you know, how am I going to be able to plan for my future savings? You know, am I free if I'm not even sure that my kids are safe? And that's something that a lot of parents have to be asking themselves, you know, in the Chicago region. Mm-hmm. We've had just horrific violence up there. You know, and you have to ask, you know, am I free when I, as a parent, don't have the ability to make education and healthcare decisions for my children? And that's one of the reasons that I've proposed an Illinois Parents Bill of Rights. So those are all things that we can talk about in the next half hour or so.
All right. I'll tell you what, let's take a break here, and we will come back and dive into those topics. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Welcome back. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. Again, we're talking today with Paul Shemp, a candidate for the Republican nomination for Illinois governor coming up in 2022, which is going to be here before we know it.
It's 2022 is going to be here before we know it. You know, as you and I were talking about over the break, the primary election is not until June 28th of 2022. The Democrats in the Illinois General Assembly moved the primary date back. It was originally supposed to be at the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. They moved it back to the end of June, which that's going to make it tougher for us to win the general election. And the reason for that is twofold. First, you know, when you have a shorter election calendar, which the general election is now going to be, you know, basically July, August, September, and October, really only 4 months between the end of the primary and the general election, which will be in November. When you have a shorter time period, money is much more decisive. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much I raise, I'm still not going to have as much money as J.B. Pritzker for TV ads and stuff like that. So, you know, that's going to be more of a challenge. The other thing that's going to make it more difficult to defeat J.B. Pritzker is we're going to be talking about primary election issues a lot longer now than we're going to be talking about general election issues. And I'm not going to change. I would never change my position. I'm, you know, I am who I am. And, you know, I think, you know, as your state senator for years, I mean, people have known that, you know, my word is my bond. You know, when I make a promise, I keep a promise. So I'm not going to change any of my political positions, but the messaging between the primary and the general election is going to be much different. And, you know, when you are going to try to get crossover votes for the general election, you have to talk about the issues that unite us, not the issues that divide us. So getting the votes of suburban women in Chicago requires a very different message than the message that is needed to get the votes of Illinois Republican voters in the primary. So that is going to make it a challenge. It's going to make it harder, but it's obviously we're still going to be able to do it. I think, you know, the public is ready to make a change and has decided that J.B. Pritzker does not deserve another 4 years. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But it is going to be a little bit more difficult to win the election now that the primary has been pushed back, you know, 4 months. So we are really a year out from the primary right now. And that does present some challenges just because it's tough to get people to pay attention a year out.
True. I mean, yeah, I'm so used to, you know, March is primary, you know, it's like that's going to take some getting used to as well. You know, I mean,
well, the, you know, the March primary was early, you know, compared to the dates that some of the other states have. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I wish we were having it in March just because that gave us more time to come together as a party. Mm-hmm. And the reason behind the change in the date was we still don't have the maps drawn for the congressional districts. You know, they're waiting on census data for that. Until we have the congressional maps drawn, you don't know, you know, what the boundaries are. People can't circulate petitions, and there has to be a petition circulating period, you know, so that people can decide what office they want to run for, and then, you know, pass the petitions and get on the ballot. So that's really, it's the delay in getting the congressional districts drawn that is really the basis for pushing the primary election back. But regardless of that reason, it's still, I think it makes things harder for the Republican Party in the general election. And that's why, you know, we really, you know, I do it a lot now. I talk about why J.B. Pritzker is not deserving of another, you know, of another 4 years. But I also talk about, you know, issues that unite us and, you know, giving the people of Illinois a different direction that our state wants to go. You know, I've talked about, you know, that you have to be able to get crossover votes to win a statewide election as a Republican in Illinois. You do that by talking about the issues that unite us. You also need to give people hope. You need to have a vision for the state of Illinois that everybody can come together on. That's one of the reasons that I've put forward an Illinois Parents Bill of Rights. I think, regardless of whether you're Democrat or Republican, you know, you believe that it should be parents, not the government, that makes medical decisions and education decisions about their children. That's not a Republican issue. That's an American issue. So that's one of the reasons that we're talking about that. And we're going to continue to put forward visions for what can unify our state. You know, for these next few weeks, we're going to continue pushing the Illinois Parents Bill of Rights. Then we're going to switch and start talking about, you know, kind of a new relationship between the state of Illinois and its taxpayers, because, you know, we are overdue for some tax relief in Illinois. And there's some things that the state of Illinois is doing right now, like charging sales tax on gasoline. That needs to stop. You know, we have to get the Illinois government back to the point where it is providing services to the people of Illinois, not preying on the people of Illinois. We can't have predatory government and expect people to want to stay in Illinois or move their businesses to Illinois. So we're going to keep promoting forward-looking ideas, talking about what can be done to make Illinois better rather than just being negative about our state.
Exactly. That's one thing I never understood is, you want to entice business, so therefore, why do you want to pass legislation that basically drives business away?
Right, and you know, if you look at the surveys that are done nationwide in terms of, you know, what states are more business friendly, what states have the worst taxation policies, Illinois always comes in at the bottom of the list in terms of talking about, you know, business friendly policies, or in terms of talking about states that are tax friendly. And we talk about, you know, there's different metrics that people toss about: unemployment rate, GDP. The one metric that is truly the key, the only one that matters, is our population growth, you know, whether we're gaining or losing population, because unless people want to come to Illinois or stay in Illinois to grow their businesses and raise their families, we cannot solve any of the challenges that our state faces. And that's why it was just such a leadership failure when J.B. Pritzker gave the last State of the State speech, and he didn't even mention the fact that Illinois, you know, had a net population loss of almost 80,000 people between July of 2019 and July of 2020. I mean, that is something where if you're going to level with the people of Illinois, you have to address that subject, the fact that we are losing population. And Governor Pritzker's failure to do so is just another example of the Pritzker leadership deficit and how it's holding our state back.
You want people to come here to build the state, not drive them away, you know.
We cannot raise the revenue that we need unless the population of Illinois is growing. It's just that simple. And, you know, we need to address the policies that are causing people to either flee our state or go somewhere else when they're deciding where to invest.
Talking about parents deciding that, you mentioned the education mandates. Basically, what we're getting is the General Assembly trying to make curriculum decisions. Is that what I'm?
Well, you know, when I talk about that, it should be parents, not the government, that are controlling their kids' education. A part of that is talking about parents exercising control through local school boards. You know, the genius of our system, where local school boards are making education decisions, is that somebody that is on the school board is not only accountable to parents through elections, but they're also accessible as well. Mm-hmm. When I moved to Waterloo, you know, one of the things that, you know, that I did very quickly was I found out who the school board members were. You know, and as a parent, not as a state senator, but as a parent, you know, I knew who, you know, I knew the members of the Waterloo School Board where my kids go to school. And if there was something that was a problem, I could call them up and have a discussion about it. So, you know, I really think that for our system to work, for our kids to have the best education possible, we need to be empowering our local school boards, you know, allowing them to be the ones that make decisions. And too often what we're seeing is that their hands are tied, either by dictates from the Illinois Department of Public Health or dictates from the Illinois State Board of Education or even from the Illinois General Assembly. So just this past week, Governor Pritzker signed a couple pieces of legislation that took more control away from our local school boards. I mean, one of those pieces of legislation was a bill that said that Asian American history, you know, now has to be taught in Illinois schools, which I'm not opposed to teaching Asian American history. What I'm opposed to is the Illinois General Assembly acting like a 118 and 59 member school boards, where they're passing these bills making curriculum decisions. You know, it should be the local superintendents and the school boards that are in charge of curriculum, because when you have one mandate after another, and the mandates are piling up, you know, we're saying that you have to teach Asian American history now, you have to teach the history of the labor movement, you have to have a class, you know, in new media communications, you know, stuff like that. Those are all, you know, worthwhile, mm-hmm. you know, potentially, but it's the local school boards that have to say, okay, we have all of these competing ideas that we want to teach, we have a limited amount of days. I want the local superintendents and the local school boards making that decision, not a member of the Illinois General Assembly who, you know, is not accountable to parents. The idea is, you know, I think it's the parents, you know, down here, for instance, we're in Sparta, you know, in the Sparta School District right now. I think the superintendent, the school boards, and the parents have are best positioned to know what the kids need, not a General Assembly member from the northern suburbs or downtown Chicago. You know, they should be, you know, they need to worry about state decisions. They don't need to try to substitute their judgment for, you know, for our elected officials down here, our elected education officials.
They got enough they need to be doing on that level and not.
Well, the state certainly has challenges that don't seem to be getting resolved right now. One of the, you know, we talked in the intro about, you know, the, you know, Independence Day and freedom. And it is right now our government is having, you know, in the midst of a catastrophic failure for the people in the Chicago region. You know, if you look at the numbers, this past weekend, we had 46 shootings in downtown in Chicago, in the city of Chicago. Over Independence Day weekend, there were 104 shootings. That's a new record. And this is something that Governor Pritzker is not solving right now. Personally, you know, you look at differences in personalities and the way I would be doing things. If I was governor and the amount of shootings was continuing to skyrocket on my watch, I would not be running for re-election. I would be resigning, because you, as governor, you know, you may not have control of everything in Chicago. Chicago has a mayor, but it is still your responsibility to try to create a safe environment. You know, we need a governor who says, look, I'm going to do everything I can to make our communities safe. And if I'm not successful in that, I'm going to hold myself accountable. That's the kind of, you know, that's what I would do as a governor. I would say I'm going to convene law enforcement, local leaders. We are going to either fix the problem or I'm going to hold myself accountable, because as governor of Illinois, you are responsible to try to keep families and communities safe.
You know, I know the Democrats really push the gun control issues into, but if you look at this aspect, all the violence in Chicago has one of the strongest and toughest gun laws in the country.
Well, I think it wasn't an Einstein who said insanity is doing the same thing and hoping for a different result. Mm-hmm. And the default response of the Democrats to violence is, let's have more gun control. And you are absolutely correct. Chicago has the strictest gun control laws in the nation, and it is not working. You know, so why would we keep going down that road, taking away people's rights for something that's not working? You know, we need different solutions in Chicago. You know, and the reality is that Governor Pritzker and the Democrats don't have any answers. They simply have not been able to solve this problem. They have not been able to make our families safe. And, you know, one of my messages to the people of Chicago is, what have you got to lose? Give me a chance, because it can't get any worse. The violence is spiraling out of control.
It is. I'll tell you what, we got another break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in, and we will come back and talk some more with Paul Schimpf here on The People Speak this morning. You'll be back right after this. Got a few minutes left this morning talking with Paul Schimpf. You obviously traveling the state quite a bit here, as the governor covers the entire state, not just a specific district or region. What kind of concerns do you hear, as like when you're in Chicago and that area up there in the collar counties, as opposed to what you hear down here?
Well, you're correct. It's a big state, and you know, one of the points that I do want to make, though, is, you know, even though there are regional differences in the state of Illinois, there is still, you know, so much more that unites us than what divides us. I mean, regardless of where you're at in the state, you know, your basic wants are going to be the same. I mean, we all want our kids to have a better quality of life, you know, than we had as parents. We all want to be able to know that our families are going to be safe. We all want to know that, you know, that our retirement plans are going to be safe, whatever, you know, whatever we decide to do, whatever plans we have in place. You know, the idea that we have a Illinois government that is always looking to spend more money and increase taxes, that's something that, you know, that kind of underlying worry is something that is the same with all of us. But really, I think the difference that I'm hearing, you know, up north versus down here is kind of twofold. I think one is just the safety issue is a little bit more paramount up there. You know, and we touched on that earlier. The violence in Chicago, you know, has spiraled out of control, and that is spilling into the collar counties up there. So people, you know, are very concerned about safety. And, you know, the first thing that we have to do, I think, in order to make our communities more safe, is we need to unequivocally say, you know, that we support our law enforcement community, and that we believe that our law enforcement community represents what's best about America. They are heroes that put their lives on the line for us every day. Really, one of the things that I'm proud about in my General Assembly career is that I co-sponsored and then I introduced legislation that was going to give our law enforcement and first responders, and this includes corrections personnel, protection on, you know, as a class under the Illinois hate crimes law, which, not a fan of hate crimes, but you know, but that's what we have. And if we're going to be protecting classes of people, law enforcement and first responders should be included. So that's one of the things. And then people are still concerned about what would happen if there is a new variant that comes out with the pandemic, and they don't want J.B. Pritzker in control, because he has shown that he's not willing to ask the tough questions, you know, and J.B. Pritzker got the pandemic response terribly, terribly wrong. So those are the two issues that I'm hearing, you know, up north, in addition to, you know, everybody's concerns about the economy.
All right, well, it looks like we're out of time, but thanks for stopping in and talking with us.
Always good to talk with you, Jeff. I look forward to these sessions that we have.
All right, we'll talk to you next month. Sounds good. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you tomorrow.